Welcome to Cosmic Channels. Open minds on cosmic lines. The show streams live Sundays at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time on YouTube and Twitch. Tune in then for your chance to share your tale or your theories. The number is 1-833-703-0424. The Cosmic Channels are open. Boom, we're live.
I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
Happy New Year, everyone, for the first Cosmic Channels of 2021.
Good riddance, 2020. On to the next one.
Yeah.
Hope for the best. All right. I think someone's already on the line. I answered by accident before the show started. They've been on the line for a while. So
we're off to a good start.
Yeah, right away.
Things are going smooth.
Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hi. Wait, can you guys hear me now?
Yep.
Oh, hi. Well, my name's Jose. I'm from California. I'm driving into work right now, and when I was calling because I wanted to talk to you guys about like a UFO sighting that I actually saw last year.
Sounds good, man.
But I guess I'll just I got started. I was at work. I'm a security guard, but a coworker was coming in through the front gate, so I was like letting him in. And it was nighttime already, it was dark already, so it was about six. It was like 6:45 at night. And as I'm letting my coworker in through the gate, I kind of like look up, and it's kind of like a rural setting where we work at. It's actually a huge wheat farm. So,
nice.
It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere, but we're like kind of out in the mountains, and like if you look like over the gate, you get a really good view of like the stars. So as my coworker's coming in, like I kind of look up and I see these. There's about 9 lights. Moving in the sky from, it was like left to right. So like I let him in through the gate, and I kind of start freaking out because like, I don't know, I had no idea what it was. And telling him to get out of his car. I'm like, dude, here, come out, look up. And like I pointed it out, he noticed it too. So we were kind of freaking out, and I was trying to get a video of the lights, but like my phone camera didn't really catch them too well. You can only really see them for like a split second, like moving across the sky, but you have to watch the video like in slow motion.
Right.
It's kind of what got me into UFOs to begin with. But after seeing that, I was just trying to figure out what it was. But I know you guys, I don't know if you guys have questions about it, or I kind of just jumped it like right off the bat into it.
So you're driving to work. You see these UFOs. What time of day was it?
It was about 6:45 p.m. and I was already at work. So I was letting my coworker in through the gate, and happened to look up and I saw the lights moving. Yeah, my bad.
Now, what kind of lights we talking here?
Honestly, like they looked like not like stars. Like they looked more definitive than stars. But like they were. I guess I could say bigger. Like they were brighter than your average star, and like bigger, and like you could see them. And like there was like 9 of them, and they were taking up like a huge chunk of sky almost. But like they started moving from left to right, and like as they started like going more to the right, I guess west. They were moving from east to west, and like when they got closer to like the ocean, I guess you would say, or over the ocean. Like guessing that approximately. I mean, they were probably already over the ocean. But when they got like closer to the west, like they started kind of disappearing one by one, and like me and my coworker both saw them like disappear, like kind of disappearing one by one. So like by the time I took the video, I think there was only like 5 left, and like you can kind of hear us like, oh, I think there's only like 4 or 5 now, and then like he's like, yeah, there were more. So we were both kind of freaking out for like a good hour.
Did they have a color to them, or are they multicolored, or?
Oh no, so they're. Kind of seemed white, like they seemed like they were just white, and like they didn't really change colors or anything, and they did only move in one direction, but like towards the end it kind of looked like they were going up a little bit, like kind of at an angle.
Oh, cool. No sound. Did you get like a no real craft shape, just like a glowing orbs, like a bunch of them, 9 of them, you said?
Yeah, it's like kind of, yeah, like glowing orbs, like kind of like in a slanted, like angled formation, like going across the sky.
Oh, that's cool.
But they seem kind of like, I don't know, far away, but you can see them like still.
Right.
It's kind of hard to explain.
What gave you the impression that they, you know, why did you think these lights were out of the ordinary? Why weren't they just airplanes or something? What was odd about them?
I think just because it seemed like they were too far. Just it was the way they kind of like disappeared at the end. And then like, I think when I initially saw them, like you could like, when I saw like how big of a chunk of the sky they were taking up, like they just, it just didn't look like your average plane like flying far away, you know? And like, we have a huge Air Force base in the area.
Yep.
It's Vandenberg Air Force Base, but it could have been something related to them. But like, I was like looking for like launches and stuff, and like they usually tell people when there's launches, or like, you know, when they're happening. But obviously, it's an Air Force base, so we don't know everything going on.
But. Right, but you can hear like especially jet aircraft. You can hear even when they're like a far away. You can hear like a jet like. Pretty audible usually.
Oh yeah,
unless they're really far. So if there was no sound,
yeah, we didn't hear anything. And I think it's just like the way, like how bright they were, and then like how they disappeared at the end because they kind of like angled like up.
Right. So they didn't look like a craft.
They
didn't look like, the lights didn't look like any type of aircraft. Like more of like a glowing orb UFO. Yeah, you hear about.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it just seemed like, because it seemed like, you know, it seemed like they were moving together.
Like, yeah, like a formation.
Yeah, then like one by one, they started kind of disappearing, and like they angled, like it made like a kind of like a J almost, like up.
Huh.
You know, like they were at an angle, and then it goes, like they went up.
That's cool. Like Southern California is a UFO hotspot, and a lot of people claim like they almost see them, seem to be emerging from the ocean and stuff. Like maybe there was like a submerged base, like a lot of theories go that way. So if you're kind of in that area, like there's tons of sightings, yeah. Tons of sightings down there. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of what got me into ATT. I started binge listening to all your guys' podcasts and learned a lot. But
awesome, man.
My brother, I just wanted to share that.
Sorry, your brother what?
Oh no, I was just saying my brother was he started listening to you guys first, and then he got me hooked on it.
Oh, tell your brother cheers. Thanks for that. We appreciate the support. Hey, thanks for calling and telling your story. We're going to keep the lines flowing tonight, but we appreciate it.
Sounds good.
Thanks, buddy. Talk to you again.
Thanks. Bye. Yeah, have a good night.
Bye. You too, man. Interesting J formation. That's you don't hear that. You hear the V, but like a J. Interesting that they just disappeared. I wonder, you know, I mean, could it be something explainable because it's so far off in the distance? Possibly, but
well, 6:45. What's 6:45? California is probably starting to
depending the time of year.
Yeah, but it doesn't change that far south. It doesn't change drastically throughout the year.
Yeah, like maybe here,
here, yeah, you get from like 7 hours to 20 hours of light sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It's a cool one. All right, yeah. Someone asked in the chat talking about UFOs. Always talking about UFOs, but any topic besides. Dreams or the dream police will have to come out, put the hammer down. Other than that, for tonight, anything's fair game. We have another caller on the line. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hello. Oh, sorry.
No, we got
you.
We got you.
Sorry, I don't know what the topic is this week, but I've got like a possession or like abduction story that fits.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no,
yeah. Let's hear it.
No topic. Anything like that's perfect. So let's hear it.
So... this happened to me, actually. I know it kind of sounds like bullshit, but my name's Owen. I'm from Lexington, Kentucky, and I'm 18. But
thanks, Owen.
During quarantine, I'm a musician, so I was taking Skype lessons. Sorry, I'm at work, so I'm kind of out of breath. But
no worries.
I got done with a lesson one time, and my girlfriend lives across town, and normally after I get off my lesson, she'll come over and meet me in a parking lot near my house, and we'll go and eat, and one time, it's about a 15-minute drive to my house from hers. And I got out of my lesson and told her, you know, to head over. And I kind of had that feeling of, like, when you wake up from a deep sleep and nothing feels, like, real. And I got up and did a few things in my room. She called me and was, like, crying. And I was really confused. And she said that she had been sitting in the parking lot for, like, almost an hour waiting for me. And it felt like it had been, like, 15 minutes. And she said on, like, the third or fourth call that I answered the phone and there was, like, weird noise in the background and that I said hello in, like, a voice deeper than I can do. And then that I just hung up. But, like, it felt like it had been, like, 15 minutes since I called her and she had been sitting there for an hour. So I have no clue what the fuck happened.
Missing time.
Yeah, like, I don't remember having any missing time, and I don't have any disorders that would make me just, like, break from reality or anything like that, so I don't really know what happened. I was kind of wondering what you all thought.
Well, the missing time is a common trait in any type of, like, event like that, but I don't know.
I mean,
yeah,
it's scary, especially you answer the phone. I mean, I've talked in my sleep before, like coming out of deep sleep and have been told, like, do you remember saying this or doing that? Like, you were super weird. And I'm like, no, I don't remember. Because I was, like, in a state of, like, pre-consciousness of, like, coming out of sleep.
Yeah.
But not for, like, an hour and, you know, freaking out spouses and stuff like that. That's a little different.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just, like, really weird because, like, I know if you have missing time, like, you kind of have a feeling that, like, something was wrong, but, like, I remember pretty much everything I did. Like, I had that weird feeling, but it wasn't, like, super strange at the time. And there's not really any way that she could have, like, called the wrong number because, you know, she called me from her contacts and, like, my call log in my phone shows that she's not lying.
Have you, and you've never had, like, seizures or anything like that? You've never had any disorders?
No, I mean, I was a dumbass and, yeah, I was a dumbass and knocked myself out one time, like, a year ago and had a seizure, but nothing like this. I don't talk in my sleepwalk, nothing like that.
You never had any, like, significant bleeding in your brain or anything like that? Because, like, that foggy period you talk about kind of sounds a little bit like a postictal period, which follows after a seizure. And, like, that could definitely equate for the missing time. Like, it's just a, you know, it depends on the person, but they can last anywhere from, like, 10 to 15 minutes to an hour. And it's a situation where you're completely confused and you don't know where you are and you could have answered your phone, right?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I knocked myself out and did that, like, almost 2 years ago. And this event happened, like, 3 or 4 months ago. And other than that, nothing like this has ever happened.
Right.
So it's just, like, kind of unexplainable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No scarring or nothing like that? You know, weird bruising or something after that period?
No, it was just kind of like I was doing my normal thing, kind of messing around on my computer, and then I felt my phone ring in my pocket, and I picked it up, and she was crying. I was like, what the hell's happening? But nothing else.
No, like, no UFO or anything that you've seen previous or
around
the time.
And, like, I have a cat, and it didn't act like anything was wrong. So I really don't know what happened, but it was really weird.
Yeah, but everyone knows cats don't give a fuck about you.
No, you could be dead, and your cat will start eating your nose.
Like, it's true.
It doesn't give a shit.
It's true. It's fucked. Huh, man. That is a crazy tale. Definitely weird.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
What is your take on the event? What's your theory? Because you've been, obviously, it's affected you enough that it keeps coming back to you. So what do you think?
My girlfriend has had a lot of weird paranormal experiences. Like, I know it sounds like bullshit, but her third eye is all the way open because she was, like, raised around that stuff, and I 100% believe it now.
Okay.
And she thinks that it was a little possession, and I kind of believe it too.
I wonder, like, and is there anything that makes you feel, like, what gives her the indication, other than, like, the strange voice, that it was, that you were possessed, is my question.
I don't know. It's just, like, it was really out of character. Because, like, other than, like, the fact that the voice could not have been mine, even though it was on my phone, the missing time and everything. And she said before, like, it sounds really stupid and like I'm bullshitting, or she is, but like,
no,
she's told me before that she's seen people in my house. Like, for example, she said that one time she saw a boy in my house who had a purple face, like he had suffocated, and I didn't really believe her. And then we walked into my papa's house one time, and she saw a picture of my dad's uncle on the wall, and she was like, oh, and that's the fucking dude. And I was like, no way, because he died of carbon monoxide poisoning and suffocated in his car. So there's just a lot of things like that, and she had no idea about it before.
Right. No, there is people that seem to be more susceptible to whatever type of phenomenon that is. So I'm not sure, but
yeah, it's creepy.
Yeah, as a one-off event of it happening, it is weird. If this was something that like started happening to you more and more, as Andrew said, it could be like you could go medical. But if it just happened once and it's never really happened again, then just a one-off, unexplained, strange event.
Yeah, like we've had weird stuff happen, but nothing like this. It's still a cool little story.
Yeah, it's a great story. We appreciate creepy. You calling in. If it happens again or it keeps happening,
call the Ghostbusters.
Sweet.
Yeah, it depends. Yeah, it depends on the seriousness of the possession or the haunting.
Yeah, I got you.
Gotcha. All right, man. Thanks. We appreciate it.
Hey, you all have a good one.
You too.
You too, man. Bye. Take care.
It's it more lines up with abduction than paranormal, though.
Yeah, it's just like there was no craft before or anything. So, but it would make, if aliens were taking people, it would make more sense they would come without being detected, you know?
Yeah.
In my opinion, like they wouldn't have a glowing light, and like they come down, they take you, wipe your memory, put you back or whatever they do. So, well, it's a cool. We haven't had a lot of stories like that. That's one of the few. It's good.
I liked it.
Someone just hung up. Call back. Don't be scared. No judgment here. We're interested in all the weird stories.
All right? Your stories.
All of them.
There's only one way to find out if, you know, maybe by telling your story, someone will listen who has a similar. You start putting pieces of this puzzle together.
Yep. All right. We have another caller.
What's up, boys?
Hello.
What's going on?
Cosmic Channels.
What's happening? Hey, what's up? I'm Mike from South Carolina. I got a good UFO story for you boys.
Let's hear it.
So I grew up in Pasadena, California, near the Rose Bowl.
Okay.
And we didn't really live in the neighborhood, but there was a private pool that we joined, so us kids could go play at the pool. The pool was called Garrish Pool. It's Gerrish, and it's kind of in the foothills of the mountains. And since it's like a private club, it doesn't require any like lifeguards or anything. Pretty much is run by the community or whatever, all the members. And I remember everything very specifically. So it was July 3rd, 1995. And I remember this because it was all the adults were doing this pre-July 4th cook-off. And they had this big, long, Olympic-sized pool. All the adults are over off to the side. And it's one of these big, tall, 30-foot fences that they're behind. And if you guys have ever seen fences where they're covered by that, like, black tarp or whatever. So they're way off to the side. And so me and my friend are doing what little kids do, where we try to swim from one end of the pool to the other, holding our breath the whole time. And so I make it to the other side, and I put my feet, my friend's still swimming underwater towards me. My feet are over the edge, kind of facing my friend, and I'm wiping my eyes with both my hands. And all of a sudden I hear this kind of wet mechanical type sound, almost the best thing I can liken it to is if you guys know, like when your washer's finally getting done, those final death throes of your washing machine, is kind of what it sounded like. And so I'm wiping my eyes as I hear this, and I look up, and probably 25 feet above my head, is this silver metallic. It looked like two silver metallic plates on top of each other, probably 25 meters in diameter. And it was slowly spinning and moving forward. And it was right above my head as I kind of heard the sound and looked up, still slightly moving forward. And as it moves a little bit more forward, I can see in the middle of it had these blue windows and in between like two plates, two metallic plates. And I'd never really heard a UFO described this way, but the bright blue light that was shining out of these windows, it was the middle of the day, but you could still see this light shining out. You couldn't look into the windows and see anything, but I just remember how unique that was, that it was, even though it was the middle of the day, the light shone out of the windows, like very physically. It's 25 feet above my head, and me and my friend were the only ones in the pool, and my friend was popping up out of the water. My jaw was completely dropped, and his name was Chris. And so he's popping up out of the water, and he's wiping his eyes. And I'm still looking at it, but when he pops up, I point at him, and I go, Chris. And then as I point up, this thing makes no sound whatsoever, and it dips right over the mountains that we were kind of in the foothills. But I could see its path, but it didn't leave a streak or anything. And so it probably took a quarter to like a half a second. Oh, shit. What the fuck? Oh, you guys still there?
We're still here.
Yeah.
Cool. So it dipped over the mountains. It probably went 50 to 100 miles in like a quarter to a half a second, but I could see its path. Like it didn't just disappear. And it's only started moving right when I pointed at it. And my friend was popping up out of the water, and I was trying to bring his attention to it. And I don't want to try to feel self-important like it stopped over me or something. But I remember when I was 9 years old, I remember not wanting to go the rest of my life thinking, you know, with a fuzzy memory, thinking like, oh, that might have been a dream I had when I was young or something. So I made sure, you know, little 9-year-old kid that sees something like that, I would not shut the fuck up about it for the rest of the day to everyone I saw. And I made sure when I went home that night that I wrote down every detail so I wouldn't forget anything about it.
Smart.
So kind of a follow on a little bit to that. Years later, I was at a Renaissance fair. I know you guys are talking about one of your last episodes. You want to go to one. They're fucking awesome. Highly recommend it. But anyway, I was talking to this very interesting person at the fair. He was talking about an experience that he had where his wife was kind of taken in front of him. And it happened kind of like as there was like a UFO like above their house. And I remember him, when I told him my story, he goes, oh, it hovered over you? Oh, it probably took you, bro. And like when he said that to me, like just chills went down my spine, because to me, it didn't feel like any time had passed. Like it was all in real time. But if these things are really advanced, you know, and they have some kind of control of time, then they could take you, do whatever, bring you back into your body at the very time, so it doesn't feel like any time had left.
Yep. That's that missing time.
That was really creepy
phenomenon that
when
happens.
I thought about that. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that was ever since then, you know, I've always tried to consume everything I could about aliens and UFOs in general. But
can you just explain just the craft again? What did the craft look like?
Yeah. So the craft looked like two, if someone took a sphere, you know, and they cut off like little slices of the top and the bottom of the sphere, and then they pushed them together, and then it was like a flat part that had just windows on like, you know, every 6 inches or something all around it. Yeah. And they're just shining out this really, really bright blue light.
Huh. That's a cool one.
So, like, did any of the water get, like, displaced or anything like that, like, from the craft?
No, that was, because once it was kind of hovering, once it effectively slowed down, it was more or less hovering above me and slightly spinning around in a circle and slightly moving forward, it made no noise whatsoever. And it also made no noise when it just dipped out over the mountains, but I could see where it went.
Damn, that's cool.
It's interesting.
Got a good look at it. For an extended period of time.
Yeah.
I like that you went home and had the mind to like go write it down. Like, I don't want to think this was a dream. I'm going to write this down right now. That's awesome.
That's a cool thing to think about as a child.
Do you still have the journal?
No.
That would be really awesome.
But all the people that I was with, I made sure. I'm like, hey, you remember that time I wouldn't shut up about seeing the UFO? And they're like, yeah, I know. I remember. you still won't talk about it. You still won't shut up.
Awesome. Well, that is the classic disc shape.
I appreciate it, man. I want to say thank you guys. I found you guys when I was deployed overseas with the Army, and a lot of lonely nights. And so started listening to your podcast 3 years ago or so. And I just want to say you guys got something special with this Cosmic Channels, man. I really liked it a lot. So appreciate you guys doing this. I know you're doing it for fun too, but you guys got something special here. Keep doing it.
Awesome, man. That's good to hear. We like doing it.
Thanks for your service.
Yeah, buddy. Take it easy.
All right.
Take care, man.
That's a fucking dope.
That was a good one.
UFO story. Holy shit.
Legit, I was a kid. I seen this fucking craft.
Painted the best picture for me too.
Yeah, I felt like I was there.
Guy's a natural storyteller,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he's got it.
Well, hearing something like that that's impacted him so much, and it's like he remembers it. So obviously he's told the story before. Do you know what I mean? So it's like this isn't the first time he's told it.
Yeah.
So he's like, his details are, he's really painted the picture for people, right? Like, I like that a lot.
Well, I like to hear when people say, like, from this time on, I was interested in this topic from this one moment. This one thing happened to me, and I was like, I got to look. And
it changed everything.
It's like somebody who's like, I don't believe in Bigfoot. Then you think you see Bigfoot in the woods, like, fuck, baby. And then you go down the Bigfoot rabbit hole.
Maybe I did see a Bigfoot.
You start hearing everyone's stories about it. All right, we got another caller lined up. This is awesome. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
All right, howdy, boys. This is the Cowboy Pilot from Fort Worth, Texas.
Cowboy Pilot, love it.
Goddamn right, flying planes and slaying dames.
There we go. As a pilot, you got to have a great story for us.
I got a couple of them, man. I was going to keep the voice up the whole time, but I don't really talk like that.
Too bad.
But I do have the... I'm done.
Yeah.
Cut him off.
I might bring it back at the end. I don't know.
All right.
But, okay, man, I've got one good story for you guys. And then I also thought I might, you know, if we have time and you're interested, weigh in with a couple of thoughts about spotting UFOs at night from a pilot's perspective. Because I've actually reported seeing UFOs, like, before over Roswell. And, you know, it turned out to be not that. But, you know... A number of factors play into it, so I thought I might talk about that a little bit too, if you guys are interested. But
definitely.
Well, cool, man. First, let me tell you my story, though. I should disclose right up front that I'm typically... I love the show. I love listening to aliens and all the conspiracy stuff, but I typically am a pretty skeptically-minded person. I kind of come at it from that angle, but I did have one experience in my life with my brother that was... weird enough that it really stuck out in my head, and it's changed my views a little bit about how I see the whole phenomena. So, long story short, this was about 2015, might have been 2016, but somewhere in there, my brother and I decided to do a spring break road trip to Colorado. We have some cousins up there. So we did the trip, and on the way up, the route we planned basically took us right up to the panhandle of Texas through Amarillo, and then from there up on into Colorado. So we did the trip. It was great. And on the way back, we decided that, you know, the route we took to get up there was a little bit too long, and we were trying to find basically a shortcut. And so we pulled out the map, and we started looking at it. And long story short, we found one. There's this kind of, you know, looking at it on the map, it's about a 2.5-mile stretch of road. That's kind of, it's like a county road, you know, so it's sort of a rural back road sort of situation. But it seems that if we take it, it's going to cut like 30 miles off the trip. And at that point, we're just trying to cut time. So we decided
this is
to
how horror movies start.
In hindsight, we should have seen it coming, but
this
weren't
that smart.
This is
the plot of Wrong Turn 1-4.
So we decided to take this way coming back, man. And the whole time we're being followed by this storm. You know, like the storm is kind of moving south at the same rate that we're driving south. So it's raining, it's kind of cloudy. So we turn onto this road and we think, okay, perfect. We're driving along. So being from Texas, you know, we're moving at a pretty good clip in my brother's truck. You know, we're doing like 80 miles an hour. And on the map, this road is about 2.5 miles long. So we're driving along this road and, you know, about 10 minutes into it, it kind of occurs to me that, you know, we've been on this road for a while. And at about that time, my brother and I passed the first set of dead cows on the side of the road, okay? So we're driving down the side of the road, and there are these dead, like, they were really bloated, so you could kind of tell the cows were, they'd been dead for a while, but not, you know, so long that they were, like, decomposing. And I thought, okay, that's creepy, but, you know, whatever. I mean, that's not very common. You know, you see a lot of dead animals on the side of Texas roads, but, you know, cows are, you know, valuable. You don't typically see them just kind of left there. So that was
And they're on the side of the road?
And then they are on the side of the road, and there's two of them, right? So, and that's, you know, so either there's the world's shittiest rancher on this road, or, you know, that just struck me as weird. They might have fallen off a cattle truck, you know, I kind of put it out of my mind. But then another 10 minutes go by, and then another 10 minutes. And it takes us about, you know, about 30 minutes into the road when my brother and I were driving, that I kind of looked over at him and I said, you know, like, shouldn't this road have ended by now? It's only like 2.5 miles long. He said, you know, I didn't think about it, but you're right. And we're driving at like 80 miles an hour. So we probably should have been off this road a long time ago. And so I thought, I'll pull up my maps and I'll see where we are. So I go to open my phone, and my phone is dead. I had like at least 60% battery on this thing. And I go to pull my phone out, and over the course of 30 minutes, my phone has gone completely dead. So I said, okay, give me your phone, dude. I had to check my brother's phone. Same thing. This phone it has some juice left, but it's completely frozen up. Like, it just will not work. So at this point, we officially decide, like, you know, we're not geniuses, but we're smart enough to realize that this is weird. Something really weird is going on. Long story short, man, we're on this road. We drive on this road for 2 hours, 2 full hours at, like, you know, 80 miles an hour. And about every 10, 15 minutes or so, we would pass one of these dead, bloated cows. It was like somebody was pushing them off the back of a trailer at, like, certain intervals or something. And it was just a weird, weird experience. So we finally come to the end of this road. We get back on the highway, and it freaked us out enough that we decided to kind of call it quits for driving that day. And so we went over to this hotel, and, you know, we checked in. And the first thing we did is we went over to the computer at the hotel, and we said, let's look up that road. Like, we must have been looking at the wrong road. We must have taken a wrong turn somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And so we go on Google Maps and we pull it up, and, like, sure as shit, man, we pull up the road. It's like 2.5 miles long. There are no other roads around it. From the highway we were on, it was the only right turn we could have possibly taken. And it was just a weird thing. We spent like 2 full hours at 80 miles an hour on a 2.5 mile stretch of road.
What? That is pretty weird. I would say the least.
It was
super fucking,
I mean, like, I don't know what to call it other than some sort of weird, like
a time warp
situation. Yeah.
Did you do any research into this road? Has anybody else had any, like, bizarre encounters on this fucking road? Any similar stories that you know of?
What area of, so we're in Colorado at this point, or are we still in Texas?
No. So we're in Texas. We've crossed over into, like, you know, the very northern panhandle of Texas. So,
okay,
so pretty far north. We were north of Amarillo.
We couldn't find any
information about, we asked some of the, like we asked the front desk girl. We said, hey, have you heard of the, you know, it's like Farm to Market Road, whatever it is. And she said, you know, it's, like, I don't know. It's a road. And so we haven't heard any stories or anything like that. I did post, man, way back in the day in like 2015 on the old ATT website when there was a blog going. I posted it on the blog, but I don't think it really got any traction. But yeah, man, so that's...
The blog on that old website got attacked, and we had to take it down.
Attacked
by
so somebody
bots.
Got my credit card number, probably.
Yeah, they stole everything. Everyone's screwed.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, anyways, guys, so that's the one story that, like, I can actually say, you know, was weird enough that it stuck out in my mind. But I listen to you guys every week, and I hear a lot of the other stories. And frankly, a lot of them, you know, can be kind of explained away. So, like I said before, I have literally reported on actual, like, air traffic control over the frequency. Like, I have reported seeing a UFO before. And it was definitely not a UFO, but just a number of circumstances were just right that I was fully convinced that I was looking at a craft not made of human origins.
For sure. What type of craft do you fly?
Oh, man, I fly. So I'm the chief pilot of an aerial survey company. So we fly. They're like small planes, but they with cameras on them. We fly around and take pictures and stuff.
Right. Cool.
But during that experience, I was flying. It was a Cessna. It was a small craft, single engine piston aircraft. Yeah, just build my hours so I could apply to the airline before coronavirus hit, which is a whole other story.
Not great for pilots.
But it was a tough time. But hey, we'll get through it, man.
Yep, we will.
But yeah, man, we were over. I was over Roswell, New Mexico, and I was looking at a line of lights right in front of me that were very much in the shape of like they were evenly spaced apart. They were at regular color intervals, and it looked like an aircraft, and it looked like it was like directly at my altitude. So I call over frequency. I said, hey, do you guys have anybody on radar? Cause I'm looking at what appears to be an aircraft, like 12 o'clock, same altitude, coming opposite direction. And that's not good. And they said, no, we don't have anybody on radar or anything like that. And I thought, well, then your radar is salty, man, because there's so many coming right at me. And it got bad enough to where I was taking like evasive maneuvers to avoid what I think is like some kind of like UFO coming right at me. Oh, and it freaked me out enough that I diverted. I landed early. This was at like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah, did you get your Magnum?
Did you get your Magnum out?
No, I pulled out my lasso. Naturally, at 2 or 3 in the in the morning, sense. I was down to my tidy whities, my shit kickers, and my 10-gallon hat. but anyways, so I landed, and they turned out to be just some fixed lights on the side of a mountain that were just spaced out like evenly enough that they looked like a regular shape. And it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I had been flying like 12 hours at that point in an unpressurized aircraft. And I was up at like 11,000 feet, so I might have been starting to get a little bit hypoxic, and it just got to the point where my judgment was so messed up that I thought I was straight up looking. I was going to get abducted. I was preparing to be abducted.
Right.
And obviously that was not the case. But I just thought, I throw that in there because I hear a lot of the stories come across as somebody reports saying like, well, I used to live by an airport, so naturally I'm an expert at identifying military aircraft from the ground. And it's harder than you think.
No, definitely. And
now, what are some tips? What are some tips that you, as an experienced pilot, would give? What are some tips if someone might think is a UFO, but it's really just a plane that maybe, Joe Blow and the rest of us members of the public wouldn't know about?
Dude, that's a great idea. Okay. So one good tip is if you're seeing something at night, civilian aircraft in the United States have to have position lights, okay? So on the right wing tip, there's going to be a green light. On the left wing tip, there's going to be a red light. And behind the aircraft, there's going to be a white light. So green, red, and white, if you've seen those colors, it's likely you're probably looking at an aircraft of some kind. If they're flashing some crazy color combination, you might be looking at, some alien grays or something. But green, red, white, it's probably civilian aircraft. Tip number two, just because there's no sound does not necessarily mean that it is not a traditionally propulsion aircraft. It depends where you are. You'd be surprised at how quiet some aircraft can be, especially military aircraft, because they are designed to be as quiet as possible.
I was just looking this up, but you have like the C-17s, for military transport crafts. Like you have those, which have about 6 or 7 lights on them. And there's like 4 white, and then there's like red and green, like you said, you explained, on either side. And like those look like they fly in like a little V. Like I was just looking up videos of them flying at night, and those seem pretty odd. They could be, I would assume, if you saw it from a certain angle, like you might not be able to see all the lights.
Definitely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's another thing. So depending, the lights are different colors on different locations of the aircraft for a reason. So it's supposed to be so that if you're looking at certain colors, you can tell, what direction the aircraft is flying kind of in relationship to where you are. So if you're looking at, the red light, that you're looking at the left wingtip, but on military aircraft and even just on bigger, not all the lights are on the exact same spot on all the planes. Right. And military aircraft don't necessarily have to have their lights on. So some of these like black triangle kind of sightings, might be explained as just military aircraft that are doing dark runs, because they can be really low. The military does some crazy stuff. They can fly, less than 1,000 feet through the mountains with no lights on, just doing, night vision runs and stuff like that. So, I'm just trying to be as helpful as possible, because some of these people, might think that they're being stalked by aliens, but the truth is there might be a logical explanation. But some of the stories, man, I tell you what, there is no explanation. You know, you run through the checklist of like, well, could it be this? Could it be this? And sometimes there's no answer. Sometimes it's like, yeah. That's weird.
And that's really helpful because that's what we want to do. We want to separate, you know, possible human encounters of where you're just, it's mislabeling something as alien spacecraft and, you know, from genuine
phenomena,
unexplained aerial phenomena.
Sure.
Yeah, because just like Blue Book, like 95% of the cases could be easily explained, and then you have those 5%, you're like, oh, man, I just don't know, right? You just don't know. It doesn't check all the boxes, and you're like, it's just cool.
You know, some of the explanations when, you know, people try to explain them away or debunk them, sometimes the explanations are crazier than, you know, just admitting that it might be a UFO. So, okay, you know what I mean? It's like, well, you saw swamp gas reflected through the light of Venus carried on the back of a bird.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, well, it's probably more likely it's just some kind of craft, you know what I mean? But, yeah, so those are some good rules. Another, you know, kind of a good rule of thumb is anything shooting laser beams is probably not civilian, probably not on Earth. That's probably a good gauge for an alien spacecraft. But,
I'd say.
Yeah, if people want to look up, you know, there's all kinds of, like, you know, the internet's a wonderful thing. If you see something weird, just start Googling, like, you know, weird military aircraft. They've flown some weird things that come in weird, weird shapes. And not everything looks like a traditional, you know, fixed-wing airplane. So, yeah, you guys ever need an aviation consultant, give me a ring. I'm yours anytime.
Thanks, brother.
Make sure to shoot us an email so we got your contact. Might hit you up for that.
You're darn right, brother. You guys keep doing what you're doing, and we'll keep it real down here in Texas.
Thanks, brother. We appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
That call just proves the fact that our fans are way cooler than
Hell
us.
Hell yeah. That was awesome.
That guy's a fucking beauty. Yeah. I could have listened to that guy all night. Why don't you take over the show, man?
Yeah.
You're way more entertaining than us.
Coincidentally, Andrew's going to be leaving the show next week. Yeah. So we have an open spot for another expert.
You're saying I'm the expendable?
I know. Dan does a comment in the chat saying, is it Dan there or did you leave a picture of him? I don't think he's even blinked.
I forgot to put my blink filter on.
His blink lens is in. Anyways, we got another call coming in right now.
Holy shit.
They're flying. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
How you guys doing? Pretty good. This is Noah Peelin from last week.
Noah!
I called,
you got cut off. Yeah. What happened last week? Did Men in Black come over or what happened? You get raided by the SWAT team?
I don't know what happened. I was about to scrub the face, and all of a sudden the line cut me off. I was like, oh, I wonder what's going on here. And I thought, oh, maybe I pressed to something. So I called back, and it hung up on me like a dozen times.
That was definitely our service had an error, and it was back on within an hour. But by that time, it was too late, and that's nothing we could do about that. But thanks for calling back.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I am ready to. So, do you want me to restart my story? Or do you want me to start right where I left off?
Do a quick summary of the story for people who didn't listen to the last one that got caught. Do it in like a minute or two, and then get to the face description. That's where we left off.
Okay. Okay. So previously last week, I started sober. I am in grade school. I'm a different house. My bed is on a wall to the and it's facing the right, the wall. I usually sleep on my right side of my bed a lot. And then when I turned in the morning, like 6 o'clock in the morning, I wake up, stretch, lock my eyes and everything. I turn to my left and I see this figure at my window. It's about to climb out of there. I was 1 foot over the window. It stopped and looked back at me. And I swear I saw a face. And now I'm gonna update you about what I had saw.
All right.
The face and everything now.
Yeah, so, let's do it.
So here's what I saw. What I saw was like these, like I saw eyes, but they're like human eyes, you know, like I would say somewhere like a blue brownish eye color. Lips were, you know, normal. Lips are pretty normal, and he had like a what I remember to be a blonde buzz cut, like military buzz cut, sideburns and back hair is like not really there, but it kind of is. But the top of the hair is pretty evident. So I'm looking at this figure, and for no reason whatsoever, I had this friend at this New England Ranger school that I was at named Braden. So So when I saw him, I was like, oh, Brayden's here. And I ran out of my bed straight to my grandparents' room and tried waking him up. And they were like, but what do you want? Go back to bed. And I'm like, Grandma, Brayden's here. And she's like, go back to bed. Ain't nobody here. I'm like, what? He's right in there. And she goes, go back to bed. And I'm like, oh, all right. You know, I'm going to go play with him. And I ran back in my bedroom. And this figure is gone. Nowhere in sight. I went to the window, and the window is locked shut. It's closed, locked shut, everything. And now here's the thing, though, with this window, though, is that where my bedroom's at, is that if you were to look down through my window, right above it is the garage. So if you wanted to climb out of the window, you would have to fall right into the driveway. And it would not be a very good fall, actually. It's pretty, my room's like a second story, pretty high up. So for a while, the past, I say, over a decade, I had no idea what to think of it other than, it wasn't like malicious like the Ouija board. It was more like it felt more like a peaceful thing. Like, okay, it was there, but it wasn't harming me. It was actually kind of very nice and warm. And then as I was going to call that sick about another story, me and my mom were talking about this one that I'm telling you right now. And she reminded me of something that I felt like, okay, this has to be important. So before I moved schools, I had this one friend in previous school. I don't remember the name. My mom will probably go on Discord and probably mention what school it is, you know, for everyone, because I don't remember. I have a bad memory of some things, but I remember specifically that there's this one kid there whose name was Dalton. Now, Dalton was in the same class as me, and he was wheelchair bound. And nobody would ever speak to him, talk to him, or play with him except me. I was the only person who ever came up to him, treated him basically like he was just a regular kid who was just in a wheelchair. I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think it was weird or anything, so I kind of just played with him, and Dalton, and apparently from what my mom told me, she said, you were the only person he would ever play with. Because none of the kids were playing with him. They would never acknowledge him. They would basically treat him like a wallflower, right, essentially. And you were the only kid that he would ever speak to or play with. And I was like, and I felt so upset by that because what's one thing my mom didn't tell me is that when I had switched schools, that Dalton had actually passed away. And the thing about it is that I never knew that, so I never got to say my goodbyes to him or anything, or even got to say goodbye to before I left or anything. So I felt like when she mentioned this, I felt pretty upset by that. But then she was like, well, maybe that footage, that figure that you saw by your window that night, that morning, maybe that was him. And maybe that was his way of either checking up on you or saying goodbye. And I was like, wow. Yeah. And the thing is, but then I was like, well, mom, there was a wheelchair there. He wasn't in a wheelchair. And my mom says, well, buddy, thing is, from what I've learned is that when you go to heaven, you're healed of everything. So he was probably able to walk. So he's probably doing fine. Okay, Noah. And I was like, oh.
Or let me put this one. If he's a ghost, maybe he was just floating. That's why it appears his legs would be dangling.
Possible.
Oh, that's true. But yeah, that.
I like to think that he's healed, though. He's definitely ghost mode.
He's healed up.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I heard that. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is so upsetting. But at the same time, I feel more at peace with it now, because for a while I was like, there was never any. I never felt closure with this specific story because I didn't know anything, and now that I have. From what my mom told me about Dalton and what I could piece together with this and that story, I feel more at peace and closure now. And I feel I can move on from that point in my life now. So I kind of feel a little bit better. And I felt like maybe I should share this with you guys to see what you guys have thought about it.
Hey, well, it's awesome of you to make that much of an impact on a guy who was down, like what wasn't deemed the same as the other kids. And he passes away and he comes to say maybe one last visit before he moves on. So it's a good story. We appreciate you telling it.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for the call. I'm finally glad we got some closure on that.
Yeah. At first, when you were describing this, the face, I thought it was going to be something very demonic, and I was like terrified. But then it turns out in the end, it's a more feel good story, which is also good.
It's a good feel good story.
Yeah.
I like it.
Good. It's a good change up sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Well, thank you very much for taking my call again.
Thanks, Noah.
Okay, Noah.
Well, thanks for calling. Yeah.
Thanks,
take
buddy.
Take care, man.
Have a good night.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
You too. You have a good night, too, guys.
Here we go. The conclusion of the face. I thought definitely it was going to be a demon face, but it's a feel-good story, which is also good. A nice change up once in a while.
Definitely more on the Casper aspect. Yeah.
Friendlier ghost aspect.
Yeah. It's my kind of ghost story.
We got time, for maybe two more calls. We got one on the line right now. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hello, how you guys doing? It's Chris from LA.
Hey, good man. How are you?
I'm good. Well, this is a perfect time to tell the story because you guys are talking about missing time.
Hell yeah.
Well, I have a story about missing time.
Perfect. Let's hear it.
I'll tell you the first time. I'm not going to tell you the recent time because the recent time involves my wife forced me to sit down and watch her movies and shows, so I don't want to get into that.
All right, we'll start with the first one.
All right, so I was about 12 years old, and it was a school night, so I was getting ready to go to bed, and my room was kind of like right next to the kitchen, where I'm able to see like the stove. I'm able to see the time and everything, and So I sit down, I look at the time, it's like 9:47 at night, and it's like, oh, whatever. Not even tired. And so I'm looking at the ceiling, and then I blink one time, and all of a sudden it just like was black. So I immediately thought that the power went out. And I look up and it's 2:30. I was like, what the hell? So like this whole time, I never knew what it was, what caused it. I was like, well, I didn't fall asleep. Right. But I know when I get ready to fall asleep. I was like, I blinked. And it just, just 5 hours like that, gone. So, like, for the longest, I just thought it was just, nothing. And then I was getting home from work. I was working, second shift, getting off, around 11 o'clock. At the time, I used to listen to Coast and Coast. So I called in and I talked to, what's his name? George, I believe.
George Norrie.
And the guy, yeah. So I talked to him about it and he had a guest on the show. And he told me, he's like, maybe aliens came in, maybe they stopped time and you're missing time because they came in and they took you up and they, did whatever they wanted to do with you. And I was like, that's, and I never thought of that until like 6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago. It's been a while since I called in and talked about it.
Right.
But, I thought it was I thought it was pretty cool that I missed time. And he's like, oh yeah, it could be aliens.
And did you wake up with, when you came back to, with any marks or bruising or anything that would say you were like physically harmed?
I did walk funny.
Hopefully not too bad.
I'm trying not to laugh, but my mind goes to,
I knew he was cracking a joke. I knew he was cracking a joke.
Yeah, no. I'm just messing. And then I had another time too. I was
wait, stay on this one for a second. So you just is five okay. hours missing time. No explanation.
Yeah. No marks.
No marks. No explanation. You weren't overly tired. You weren't like, you weren't drinking. You weren't nothing. Just all of a sudden, a snap of the blink of the eyes, 5 hours gone. No sighting of a craft or any other like phenomena like that.
Nope. I was in the room. I was looking at the ceiling, and then, like I said, one blink, and I thought the power went out. And then I look up, 5 hours. 5 hours gone. No marks, no bruises.
What's your theory? What's so obviously there's the alien abduction, but what else could it be, do you think?
Possessed. Maybe.
Sometimes people say that's one and the same.
Yeah, I did tell you that story about the demon, the goat half man, half goat.
Oh, you know, last week. Right. That was, yeah, it's you. Right, right, right.
Yeah. Huh. So it's possible, you know, I was thinking maybe I got possessed, but I never thought about alien theory, you know.
Gotcha.
So. But, you know, I talked to, I have a friend that actually gets these all the time. He always has missing time, and he told me that he thinks I got abducted too. So,
I mean,
kind of hard to explain.
No, definitely. But it's like a lot of people say, like, a lot of people, when they say they're missing time, there was a craft involved also. But this is not the first time tonight we heard, as I said before, like, it would make more sense if, you know, there's these ETs and they're trying to do, like, let's say, science experiments. Or we are their science experiment, let's say. It would make more sense that you wouldn't even see it coming. They would just, like, whatever they would do to you, like, freeze your time or, like, you know, shoot an energy beam at you that makes you think you've lost time. Maybe they're not even doing anything, like, you know, malicious. They're, like, maybe they're taking your temperature and, like, a little drop of blood or something, and then they're on their way. That would make sense if... That's kind of what I think sometimes on abduction. Or it's the sinister version. That usually involves, like, the fear and the bright light and the paralysis, and then you just wake up, like, you're Travis Walton 5 days later in a phone booth.
Yeah, and you've had an epiphany on how to make money for the rest of your life.
That came later.
I should try to do that.
Pretty lucrative.
No, I used to, I have a friend that's she's very gullible. So I used to tell her the story, and I was like, yeah, before I used to have shit brown eyes. I like, now I have hazel. But, like, after I miss those 5 hours, my eye color changed. She's like, see, aliens. And it's so
you can get some people.
But
easy.
There was another time. It's not, maybe I might have, you know, been so tired that I didn't recall what happened. But there was one time, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, going home from work. And blink of an eye, I'm home. And it's just like, oh.
That one can be explained sometimes as driving hypnosis. Happens to people sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially when you're tired, like you missed like the last 20K of the road. Like, what the fuck? Was I even driving? Was I actually aware at the wheel for the last 20 minutes?
Like, did I fall asleep?
Yeah, like, somehow managed to stay straight the whole time?
Yeah, yeah.
But the one in... like in a house is, that's the second one like that tonight. So some of the little correlation between the two. That's yeah. Awesome. Hey man, thanks for calling back. Telling us another tale.
Yeah. I'll call you guys hopefully next week, and I'll tell you guys another one.
All right, man. We're going to take one more call tonight, but we appreciate it. Talk to you again. Bye.
All right. Okay. Have a good one. All
right. You spill your beer on your computer there, Braden, or?
Nearly.
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 All right, I can take a quick sip here, and then I think we're going to bring in the last caller of Cosmic Channels 19. You good over there, Braden? Surviving?
Oh, I'm good. Yeah, I just got to clean up this. I caught it before it hit any crucial bits.
Awesome. Okay, bring in the last caller of the night. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hi, hello.
Hello, you're live.
Hi, am I? Oh, awesome. Cool. Hey, how you guys doing? This is really cool.
Yeah, we're doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Well, I don't want to use my real name because there's a lot of people who I know listen to this. So
no problem.
Jason
I go
Bourne.
By Majin Vegeta.
They're Jason Bourne.
Oh, we got Majin Vegeta on the line.
Majin Vegeta. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm your Patreon supporter, Majin Vegeta.
Ah, okay. Yeah, definitely. Awesome, man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I just wanted to call real quick about experiences I've had growing up, and I believe they're shadow people that I've been visited by throughout my youth and even into my adulthood. Now I'm 31 years old, and my earliest memory of this happening was I was like 7 years old, so it's been going on for a while. But most recently, I'll tell you about a time where I had spent the night at my dad's house, you know, and his house is generally where it usually happened when I was a kid growing up. And most recently, I was about 28 years old when I was over there. And I remember the same thing like what Dan's talked about before, where you just wake up and you can't move. And you have no motor skills at all except for your eyes. And
that feeling came over my body again, like this has happened before. And I happen to look over to my left with my eyes, and I can see something very tall standing by the doorway. And the door is about a good 8 feet tall. So whatever this thing is, it was kind of crouching in the doorway. So it might have been even taller than 8 feet. And it was wearing it looked like it was wearing a hat. Like a fedora or something like that.
Lubega!
Lubega.
Yes, Lubega, there you go. That's awesome.
The fucking hat man.
Yeah, check Lubega's height. Is he 8 feet tall? I'm pretty sure he is.
Yeah, but I remember every time I see that shadow, I just got this uneasy feeling of just fear. Like I couldn't move. At some cases, and the one I'm calling about, it just seemed like he either grew or got closer to you, and it got like really cold. It was almost like Andrew would know about the Dementors, where they get close to you and it gets really cold,
right?
And it just sucks the life out of you. That's what it felt like. But I just did what Dan does. I just try and move my fingers and move my toes and just try and get something going. And I keep trying to think to myself that, hey, maybe this isn't real. And I snapped out of it, and it just disappeared. And I was able to breathe again. But it's happened to me a lot in the past. And the most recent one was the most scary, though, because when I the next day I was getting ready for work, I noticed I had scratches on my arm. And that's never happened before. And I don't think my schnauzer was capable of leaving gashes in my arm. So... Yeah. So, I mean, something like that happening on the nightly basis, only at my dad's house I've experienced this. Happened quite a bit. Like, now I just got married. Me and my wife, we live not that far from my father, but his house. There was an incident that happened back in 69. There was a tornado that, like, washed through this whole area and killed the mother and the daughter,
okay.
Which I have experiences for that also, but... We think that there's a demon that lives in the house that keeps them there because we had a medium come to investigate the home, and without knowing anything about my experiences, she pointed out that there was a demon attached to the house, and you know, I've been like,
still
I
live
said,
there?
Oh yeah, he doesn't believe in anything. In fact, the other night he told me he thought he heard footsteps and he thought I was home, like I was over, and I was like, Dad, I don't live there anymore, so. No, that wasn't me. And he just said there's a scientific explanation. And I'm like, yeah, it's the thing following you. So, but, well, yeah, he still lives there. He's not a believer at all. So it's hard
has
to get him rattled.
And
so.
He hasn't had any scratches or anything like that or sleep paralysis?
He gets sleep paralysis, but he says he's never seen anything at his doorway or anything like that. But his room was on the first floor. My room was in the basement. Right, that's where I experienced a lot of it, was in the basement. Yeah, so my schnauzer, whenever I noticed that right before that would happen, like if I went to sleep, my schnauzer would just bolt. He'd book it. He wouldn't want to stick around in the room with me anymore.
I
should have took that as a telltale sign. Yeah, he doesn't want to be around for that. Yeah. But yeah, guys, I just wanted to call and talk about that. Yeah, I've been listening to you guys for years, so it's actually pretty cool I get to call in and get to tell my story.
Oh, no, we appreciate it.
And I figured I'd tell it. Yeah, I want to tell it so that having Braden read it, I don't want him to butcher it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wise. Good call. Yeah. Good call.
Wise.
Smart.
The shadow person phenomenon, like a lot of people have seen it. Even Braden's seen a tall shadow man that one time in your parents' basement.
This is true.
Especially if there's like...
I was not asleep. I was not asleep in any sense of the word, the one I saw. Not asleep.
Yeah.
So, I was fully moving, speaking... I was conscious.
How old were you, Braden, when you saw that?
I was in my teens. I was probably 15. I was probably in high school. I was maybe grade 9 or grade 10.
I think that's around the time Lubega got really popular, right? With his one-haired wonders.
It is.
He's infiltrating.
And he knew me and my brother were big fans. Maybe he was just trying to pay a visit.
The hat man stopping over.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah, I would say that's a Lubega Mambo 5 for sure. I mean,
yeah, that's a Mambo number 5 right there.
Yeah, that's a Mambo number 5 for sure.
Well, I don't know. Did you have his cassette tape or fucking CD in your house? Maybe that's how he gets into your homes.
That's a good question. Oh. Hey, let's put that connection. At the time of seeing the Shadow Man, did you own a Lou Bega album or tape cassette?
The Spotify count?
Yeah, if you had it on there.
If you have his album saved from Spotify, it counts.
First off, you got bigger problems if you got Lou Bega's Mambo No. 5 album saved on Spotify.
Ooh, called out.
Yeah, problems being too cool.
Too awesome.
Yeah. It's true.
Rain's just, he has it. That's the number one played song.
It is. My 2020 in review is all Lou Bega. I just want to get to the bottom of this mystery.
I did have a question for Andrew before I hop off here.
Sure.
I wanted to know, A, if he took the Griff, the official Harry Potter test to see what house he's in.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, Pottermore.
Pottermore? Oh, yeah. Hufflepuff for life.
Yeah, what did you get? Hufflepuff.
Hufflepuff.
That's cool, makes sense.
What's your Patronus?
Oh, shit. It's an Ock. The fuck is it? It's one of those weird ones. It's a
mine's an orangutan. No,
like a giant Arctic bird.
It's a fucking mongoose. Obviously.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
An auk?
An auk is a
mongoose. It's like a giant. It's like a giant tern. I'm pretty sure it's like a type of bird.
Mine's an orangutan. Also, House Hufflepuff.
mine's an Ockamy, but I don't. It's like a giant dragon bird.
Hey, I took the official one at Hogwarts when I was enrolled there.
Yes, so did I.
For an afternoon.
Ock. It's a type of Arctur.
All right, hey man, thanks for the call. We love the Shadow Man call. It was great.
Yeah, that was awesome, man.
No, thanks, guys. I'll call in later.
What house are you in?
What house are you in?
Who are we speaking with?
I'm in Gryffindor.
Gryffindor
all the way. The house everybody wants to be in.
Popular kids. Hey, just remember,
popular kid.
They haven't even written a story about our house yet. Our house did some good things.
I think so, too.
You just haven't heard about it yet, because we're not Gryffindor. Fucking attention seekers, more like it.
No one's better than Slytherin. Get out of here, boys.
Overachievers.
All right, we're going to wrap this Cosmic Channels up, man, but we appreciate the call. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys. You guys have a good one. Bye.
Right on, man.
Bye. Take care.
Take care, brother.
Boom.
Special thanks to everyone who's making this show phenomenal. It's not us. It's you guys. You guys make the show. So thank you again for all your calls tonight. You want to help Cosmic Channels out, go on iTunes, go wherever you can leave a 5-star review and leave Cosmic Channels a 5-star review. It tremendously helps the show out, and just thank you again for calling in and sharing your
experiences. Would you say leave a Mambo No. 5-star
review? Yeah, leave a Mambo No. 5-star review for us, and thank you for your calls. We really appreciate it. That's fun. We love doing the show.
You can see when Dan came up with that, too. He started laughing to himself before he even said it.
Yeah, he's like,
I had to run through it a couple times.
Had to process it first. And on that note, I think we're going to break Cosmic Channels into seasons. So we're going to do one more episode of season one next week. Same time, same place. Maybe we'll take an extra call or two. And then we're going to decide. We're going to maybe change the format a bit, change it up a little bit, and then make an opening date for season two. And yeah, try and get more people calling in, more people listening. It's fun.
And you know what? Let us know. Because this show is completely controlled by you guys in your calls, what we've been debating is having like very specific topics to call in about and theorize with us. But if you like the format, whatever you like, let us know, right? Reach out to us. Let us know how you've enjoyed the show so far as we near the end of season one.
Hell yeah. All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. The Cosmic Channels are closed. See you next week. Cosmic Channels is brought to you by Big Theory Productions. The Cosmic Channels are now closed.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.